Today's readings come from Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38, and Luke 10, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And now, Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near.'"
A couple of months ago, the papers were full of stories about a shortage of labour for the fruit picking season. The combination of the fallout from Brexit and COVID-19 meant that overseas labour, which many farms have relied on for years, was not available. And UK residents were not standing up to plug the gap in sufficient numbers. The harvest was ready. The fruit had grown, unlike the subsequent wheat and barley harvest, which I understand has been diminished somewhat this year by the weather. With the fruit and the vegetables, there was a good crop ready to be brought in. There were just not enough people to do the work. And so there was a very real risk that much of that harvest would be lost, going over and rotting away in the fields while the supermarket shelves remained empty. Hence the newspaper stories, intended at least in part to encourage more workers into the harvest field. Jesus' statement in today's readings could be a press headline for that situation. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But Jesus, of course, is not talking about farm labourers in a field. This is image, this is picture language, as he used so often. But what does it mean in its original context and for us today? Well, the harvest is plentiful. It's obvious from the context in both Matthew 9 and Luke 10 that the harvest in question is people. This is a similar idea to when Jesus calls Peter, the fisherman, and tells him that he will now fish for people. But what people? And what does it mean for this harvest to be plentiful? Matthew's account tells us that Jesus is on his way through all the towns and villages, proclaiming the kingdom and healing people. And he sees around him great crowds of those who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The harvest, the people, are those with a need of God. And the implication is those who have, to some extent at least, recognised that need. The crowds had come to Jesus. Why? Because he offered them something. Different for different people. Some were seeking physical healing. Some were looking for hope. Others wanted to know what to do with their lives or had deep searching questions they hoped he might be able to answer. And of course there were also a healthy number of sceptics and some who doubtless just wanted to be able to say they'd been there. They'd seen this Jesus who everyone was talking about. Jesus sees them and he has compassion. because he sees those who, whether they know it or not, are lost. Those who are harassed, feeling stressed, at the edge, directionless, rudderless, looking for something they know not what, perhaps, but open to direction, to leading, to pointing towards the kingdom of heaven. This is the plentiful harvest. Those who are ripe for bringing into the safety and security of the kingdom of God. In the same way a farmer gathers his wheat into his barn. Luke's account places this saying of Jesus at a slightly different place in the same story. In the context of him sending out a team of people, missionaries we might call them. But what they're sent to do actually overlaps with Matthew's account. To go and find people who act peacefully towards them, those who are open and willing to receive the message, to heal the sick, and to welcome them into the kingdom of God. As well as also to tell those who will not welcome the messengers that the kingdom of God is nonetheless near at hand, and to call them to repent and to recognise their need of God before it is too late. So this is the harvest. People who need God and who in some way or other, even if they can't verbalise it, recognise their need of God. They're seeking, they're searching. They're ready to be brought into the kingdom. And, says Jesus, this harvest is plentiful. Some have tried to claim that this is not universally true. That Jesus was talking into a specific situation of religious fervour and political upheaval that made the people of his age super receptive, more ripe, as it were, more ready to be harvested. And this is not the same today, they say. People are more hard to the gospel, closed off, less willing to respond. The harvest of our day is much smaller and leaner. I don't agree. The search for God is innate to human beings. We don't always recognise it as such. In our affluent Western society, we will try to find meaning in all sorts of things, and some will feel they have found it and that they don't need any more. But that doesn't negate the fact that we all search. As St. Augustine famously said, "You made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you." But, you say to me, if that's the case, why aren't people flocking to our churches? Why aren't we seeing a great hunger for what we have to offer? Why, even in these turbulent times of 2020, do such a small percentage of people seem remotely interested in hearing about Jesus? Well, I think that has less to do with the size of the potential harvest and more to do with the second half of Jesus' statement. The workers are few. Those who are actively seeking to be out in the harvest field, bringing people into the kingdom, are few. And those who are well equipped to do so are far fewer again. And there are many reasons for this, but one key one is highlighted by an article that I found while preparing for this passage, in which the author argued that these words of Jesus obviously didn't apply today. There obviously isn't a lack of workers in the UK church, he said. He identified a period of 5 years around the millennium where over 3,000 people trained for the ministry in the UK, including himself, which is obviously far more than the number of ministerial vacancies in UK churches, and so he concluded we have an abundance of workers. So tragic. Perpetuating the myth, which has been prevalent for too long, that it's only those who are in some way trained or employed who are workers in the harvest field. I cannot say strongly enough, that is not the case. Jesus says these words in both Matthew and Luke in the immediate context of sending out a band of untrained, ill-equipped lay people, for lack of a better term. The 12 disciples in Matthew, 72 in Luke, sent out into the fields to bring in the harvest. And each and every follower of Jesus is called to be a worker to bring in the harvest. Now, yes, some are particularly gifted in evangelism. I'm not denying that. We have too few of those, too. In the Baptist Union, of which our church is a member, there are 1,300 active accredited ministers, as in not retired. Only about 20 of those 1,300 are specialist evangelists. That's too few. And too many churches don't appreciate and nurture gifts of evangelism in those who have them. So yes, we need more people who are gifted and called and trained specifically to go out into the harvest field to call people into the kingdom. Absolutely. Let's pray that God will raise up those gifted evangelists. Let's pray that God will equip churches to call and to support people in that vital mission. But we also need each and every one of us to recognise that this is a work that we are called to in accordance with our own gifts and opportunities. And we need, and I include Beverley Baptist in this, we need to be better at equipping one another to bring in this harvest. I said earlier that some have claimed that in our times and culture, people are much more closed off and hardened to the gospel. And there is some truth in that many people have had negative experiences of church, or heard the message of Jesus presented in unhelpful ways, or perhaps, I suspect more often, just found that the questions churches are seeking to answer aren't the questions they're asking. We need to be better equipped to be bringing in the harvest that is here now, not the one that was here 50 or 100 years ago. But there is still a harvest, and we need to be seeking to work to bring it in. But that's not all that Jesus says. In fact, that's not the primary thing that he says. Even saying this, as he is in the context of sending people out, his main message here is not go out into the harvest field. His main message is, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Primarily, what Jesus is saying here is a call to prayer. Prayer that turns into action. Yes, prayer always must. But first and foremost, prayer. Which is why we're considering this passage today as part of a sermon series on prayer. Because if we're serious about wanting to bring in the harvest, if we genuinely want to see our non-Christian friends, family, neighbours, colleagues come into the kingdom of God, then we need to get serious about praying for it. Praying for those people, yes, and that's the bit I suspect that we do best. But praying also, as Jesus encourages here, for God to raise up those who will be the means of bringing in that harvest, the workers, those who will communicate clearly the gospel message in a way that connects with people, in a way they understand. But be careful as we pray that. Prayer is dangerous. Because as we pray that, it may become clear that God wants us to be the one to bring in that particular part of the harvest. As in the Luke passage, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field, go. And so too it may be for us. The prayer for workers may be followed immediately by the instruction to go. And so we need to be praying for God to send out workers, but also praying for one another as we are called to be workers for the harvest. which is the idea behind the new prayer initiative, which I introduced briefly earlier in this service. Calling each of us to identify five people who are part of that harvest. Those who don't know Jesus. Perhaps people who've shown some interest. Perhaps those who have not yet openly done so, but who God has given you a real compassion for. Those who are, in Matthew's words, harassed and helpless, needing God in their lives. And I want us to commit to praying for those people regularly, daily if you can, but don't beat yourself up about it having to be daily. But over and over again, with persistence, which will be another sermon in this series in about a month's time. Pray for them to come to know Jesus, but as part of that, pray for God to bring the right people across their paths, those workers in his field who will help to bring them into the kingdom. And pray in that way, open to the role that God might have for you in the salvation of that particular individual. But a key part of what we're seeking to do here is we want not only to be praying for our own five people, we want to find ways to pray for each other's people too. The harvest is plentiful. It goes beyond just the people that any one of us know. If every adult member of our congregation prays for five people, that's about 300 people in total. Be a bit less probably, because there's bound to be overlap. Some people will be praying for the same people. But that is a lot of individuals to be regularly praying for. If God only brought in 10% of that harvest over the next couple of years, we're looking at 25, 30 new Christians. What a blessing that would be. And so if you're in existing prayer partnerships or triplets, share brief details of your list of five names, respecting their confidentiality. And pray for each other's. We're encouraging house groups to think about how they might enable people to pray for each other in this way. Get together with your family and pray. If you don't have an existing prayer relationship with someone else, find a friend who you can commit to praying for each other's names. I'm not one, as many of you know, for programs and formulas for the growth of the church or of the kingdom. The Holy Spirit works in often very surprising ways. I'm not offering this as a magic bullet for church growth. But I do think that this intentional, regular commitment will have benefit, if for no other reason than it will get us into the mindset of looking outwards in our prayer. Out to the fields full of a ripe and ready harvest, just waiting for those who will reap it in Jesus' name. Jesus actually taught surprisingly little about prayer. Or perhaps it might be better to say it can seem surprisingly little in our context. The truth is, he was teaching people who knew about prayer. It was a central part of the Jewish faith. And he assumed and encouraged the regular patterns and habits of prayer that that faith contained. The Gospels are littered with casual references to prayer that assume that it is part of life for his hearers. But there's very few occasions where he gives people a prayer focus like this, which is to stand for all time and space. I actually looked through the Gospels. I can only identify four. I'm not saying I didn't miss any. But I can only identify four such direct commands in the whole of the Gospels. One is the Lord's Prayer, which we looked at last week. There's the injunction to pray for those who persecute and mistreat us. There's a slightly more general teaching about not hesitating to ask the Father for good things. And then there's this one. This isn't just a throwaway phrase. This is something important enough for Jesus to single it out to encourage his followers to pray for. there is a harvest, a plentiful harvest, out there in the fields. And if workers are not raised up, the risk is, as we said with our fruit harvest at the beginning, that that harvest goes over and rots back into the ground. So let's lift our eyes and look outwards, out to a world of people who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Let us see the harvest. Let us see people ready to come into the kingdom. Let us pray like we've never prayed before for God to raise up workers in the harvest field. And then let us go into that field and declare in whatever way we can to whoever we can, the kingdom of God has come near. I'm going to leave a moment of quiet now for us to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. Perhaps to begin to identify who it is that God would have you specifically pray for. Some of you may know those five names straight away. For others, there may be more thought involved. Let's use this time to pray over that and to ask God to raise up workers, to bring in an abundant harvest. Lord, we thank you that you love each and every one that you have made, and that your desire is that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life in you. And Lord, there is a harvest out there of people who do not know you. And Lord, we say we care about that. Do we care enough to pray? Lord, encourage us, strengthen us, enable us to pray earnestly and without ceasing for the growth of your kingdom. And Lord, raise up from among us those who are specially equipped to reach out with the message of Jesus to this land in this generation. But stir up within each one of us also that desire to use the gifts that you have given us to work in the harvest field and to bring people to that place where they can encounter you and come into relationship with you. Lord, we are here. We offer ourselves for the work to which you have called us. May we undertake it faithfully and diligently and see the fruits of a great harvest for your praise and glory. Amen.